to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back. What a night. Wasn't that first hour just absolutely fantastic? My thanks, as always, goes out to Keith Alexander for helping me shepherd you through the murky waters of the cesspool. During that first hour, we covered a lot of ground. We sure did. If you missed it, check out the broadcast archives available to you on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There, too, you will find my recent video of our meeting with Rachel Maddow in rural New York. We got together in an attempt to see if we could settle our differences. You got to watch the video to see how it all unfolded at thepoliticalcesspool.org, but and a lot more, much more, in fact, there at the website for you this week. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you, coming to you live, as I always do, each and every Saturday night from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and, of course, simulcasting online to the world at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. I mentioned to you at the top of the show that tonight during the third hour, we'll be replaying in its entirety my recent guest spot on the Jeff Rentz radio program. I was interviewed by the legendary Jeff Rentz a couple of weeks ago, and tonight we're going to play the entire show for you in the political cesspool. So if you missed it live, you're going to get it for free tonight. We're excited about that. We're excited about having the opportunity to bring this to your attention. But first, we've got not one but two outstanding guests this hour, the first of which being Roanne Garcia Quintana, a very good friend of mine and fellow member of the Council of Conservative Citizens. He's been on this show several times in the past. And Mr. Garcia Quintana was attacked this week in the infamous NAACP expose, quote unquote, of troubling Tea Partiers. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier in the night, the list of troubling Tea Partiers reads like the political cesspool guest list and does, in fact, include former TPC guests Peter Gemma and Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt. But without further ado, Roanne Garcia Quintana. Roanne, great to have you back tonight, my friend. I'm so excited you can come on under such exciting circumstances.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, and congratulations, by the way.
Yeah. I think it's helped our organization quite a bit. It gave us a lot of good publicity, and it shows that Americans are fed up with, being called racist for just wanting to celebrate our European heritage and just wanting to be good old Americans.
Well, that's absolutely right. And of course, as we've long known, if you are of European extract and you want to celebrate your history, heritage, and culture, then that's racist. Everybody else can do it, no problem at all. You right. Do it, you're a racist. These are the ever-changing rules of political correctness. But let's get down to the meat and potatoes, Rowan. You're active in the South Carolina Tea Party movement. You're also, of course, a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens, as I mentioned. But let's talk about the South Carolina Tea Party movement. What is your role in your particular group there?
Well, as you know, I'm executive director of Americans Have Had Enough, .org is our website. It's an organization that just sort of started under Tom Tancredo's guidelines and his leadership. Of course, he's been called a racist also for being anti-legal
right.
alien. And what I have sort of taken the organization and saw a great opening in that as the Tea Parties were forming, you know, you're talking about individuals to whom I have preached since I was a little kid that if they keep taking this country for granted, one day they're going to wake up to a socialist society. Little did I know that it was going to happen in my lifetime. However, these tea groups emerged, and I met a couple of leaders of it, and they invited me to come over. And this was right at the time when the GOP, the Republican Party, was trying to sort of hijack them, sort of like they, or sort of neutered them like they were able to do the Minuteman a few years back. Well, it didn't happen, because they luckily, I can take a lot of credit in providing guidance to these people and saying, no. Not only do you need to stay away from the GOP, you also need to stay independent of one another. So we created what we call the Upcountry Coalition of Conservative Organizations, and it consists just of the leaderships. So, you know, we have 20 organizations, and I have no idea the membership of each organization. What I do know is I work with these leaders. They are very, very bright individuals, and they caught on. They got it. In 1 year, we have come such a long way that the Speaker of the House actually asked to meet with us when we suggested that if we didn't change speakers, we were going to go after every single legislator who voted for the current speaker. So that got his attention. And for the Speaker of the House, the State House of Representatives, to come ask and to please let us speak, let him speak and explain himself, not much explaining to do, it just goes to show you the, you know, what, how long we have come. I've also taught him activism. I have taught him that we need to quit wasting our time going after Washington. That what makes you think that if we cannot take our state legislature, we can take on Washington? What makes you think if you can't even take your town council, county council, you can take on our state legislature? And folks, you know, you need to go after your local, the ones that are closest to you. You have more access to them. You take them down, then you move to the next level. And one goal at a time, one body at a time, we will eventually get rid of the tyranny that's coming out of Washington, D.C., regardless of who's in there. This is not a Republican. It's not a there's not much difference between Republicans or Democrats, but the way I say it is that the Democratic Party has moved so far left that has dragged the Republican Party, you know, leftward with them, but it's still salvageable. It's still salvageable. I believe we can take it back over, especially next year when reorganization comes in. We can start taking each state party at a time.
You know, so, every now and then, ladies and gentlemen, we have people on this show, and to just read their biography would take a half an hour. Rowan is one of those guys. You know, he's, among other things, a paid political consultant. He's a campaign manager. As he's giving you a little background information here, active in the South Carolina Tea Party movement, obviously, and it's his participation in that movement that has gotten him labeled on the NAACP report, if you'll call it that, of troubling individuals in the Tea Party movement. Rowan, we only got about a minute before break. We're going to explore this much in much greater detail in the second hour. But, you know, just in a quick, you know, 30-second synopsis, what did you think of this report on racism in the Tea Party movement? And were you surprised that you were mentioned in it?
I was not surprised because Essence Magazine, as you know, they were in our national conference and they followed us all the way to South Carolina. I don't know if you knew the follow up, but we were in Essence Magazine as well.
Right.
And, I was a little surprised, I guess, but I was told also I carried it with a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it just goes to show you, what the NAACP, how shallow they are.
Hey, Rowan. Sorry to interrupt, my friend. I hear our music. We got to take a break.
Okay.
Rowan Garcia Quintana been listed in this joke of a report. We're going to talk more about it in just a minute.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Excited to have Rowan Garcia Quintana on the program right now. He is a political consultant, a very active leader in the Tea Party movement, as well as the Council of Conservative Citizens. He is one of the folks that has been targeted in this so-called expose by the NAACP on troubling individuals in the Tea Party movement. I was looking through the list. It read like my guest list to my wedding a few years ago. All good people on there. Rowan's one of them. And I tell you, I really respect men with the courage of Rowan. So often you see folks fall on their sword and grovel when they're called a nasty name by a nefarious organization. Rowan, like us, embraces such attacks as a badge of honor, and that's the way we should all respond to these ridiculous assertions. But Roanne, I was looking at the cover art of this report, because this was a big deal for them. For the NAACP, this was a big production, something that they really thought would just shake the Tea Party to its core. And they have some cover art of a bunch of different tea bags. You've seen this. And,
yes.
And they have images on these tea bags of things that are supposed to be scary to people. And I'll just name a couple of them. They've got, obviously, a Confederate flag. They've got the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And they have a picture of a tea bag that says America is a Christian nation. So, you know, they're saying there that you're evil, you're a racist, you're a bigot if you believe in Christ, if you're a patriot, and you have an affinity for Southern culture. You know, if I meet someone who's a Southern Christian that's a patriot, you know, they're a friend of mine, but, you know, they're being depicted in this report as people to be leery of. How should the Tea Party movement respond to this attack, and how are you going to respond, Roanne?
Oh, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to ignore it. You know, NAACP maybe stands for the, I don't know, National Anti-American Coalition of Pagans. Who knows what they stand for? You know, I the Washington Post, you know, interviewed me, and I said, you know, just because I am being effective, they're trying to paint anything. It seems like anything that goes against the government, just because we happen to have a half black president, everything becomes, you know, racist. They're just using this. This is just a ploy, because it shows that the Tea Party, which is made up of middle class and upper class Americans, who have no agenda but to put it back the Constitution, take our government away from special or selfish, greedy interest groups, are becoming effective. We proved that we can take down individuals in the Republican primary. We took some out. There were some casualties in the Democratic Party. Incumbent Democrats fell. So this is a movement that is not going anywhere. Indeed, I suspect the NAACP is the ones that are going to go anywhere. And you know, the good Lord couldn't have helped us with the firing of Juan William by NPR. You know, because that kind of neutered the whole. You know, they were getting a lot of traction, and all of a sudden, you know, a liberal black individual says how he feels. And he's fired for saying how he feels, you know, and that pretty much, I don't see the NAACP coming out to his defense. I don't expect him. Remember Sherrod, you know, that came up, in the Essence article. And one of the things I said, hey, you don't blame the guy who put it out there. He was just playing y'all, playing the system. He just put a snippet of what she said. The White House and the NAACP assumed that she had to be taken down, so they fired the woman. She was collateral damage. I sure hate it, but I'm sure she'll come out okay with some book deal somewhere. But it's just, you know, we need to stop the politically correctness. We need to stand for unalienable rights that belong to us, and we need to celebrate that white people, white Europeans were responsible for many great things in this nation, and nobody else can take that away from us.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite quotes, Roanne, is it comes from our friend Pat Buchanan. He said, you know, we've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude? Have our people never contributed anything good? Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, the vast majority of that which we've produced, from ideas to technological advancements, has been very good for all of humanity, yet the only thing you ever hear attributed to white people is racism.
Yes, what irritates me, and anybody who's a Caucasian should be ashamed of being embarrassed to celebrate their heritage. And you know, because there are those apologists out there. You know, there are people that are still, I don't need anybody to apologize to me. You know, I happen to have been born in Cuba. My family's from Spain, but Cuba was very, very involved in the fight for Southern independence. And so, you know, I don't apologize one bit for for that war, northern aggression, which people try to call a civil war. There's nothing civil about it, because in a civil war, both sides are fighting for the entire peace, and the South could give a darn about the North. And wasn't a civil war. It was really an attack of the North, because we wanted to be independent of the North, and they didn't want to let go of us because we were more profitable.
That's right. It's all about money.
But we need to, you know, people need to rise up to these ultra semi communists. I mean, you know, you look at the agenda that this president is carrying. It is a neo communist agenda. There's no question about it. These people were card carrying communists in the 60s. They're not apologizing. And when he said, you know, this is a time for. We're going to change America. He meant it for a very negative, you know, for a tyranny that we cannot afford, and we must fight back, and we must neutralize these groups, and we must counter them. If we're going to counter them, we either ignore them, and we need to really ignore them, because to counter them means that they're irrelevant. And in the scheme of things, them, the Council of La Raza, groups like that are irrelevant. Because if they want to talk about racism, why don't they talk about the Black Panthers, who was calling for all people to go kill white people? We have never, ever, ever, I have never, ever heard that in the Council of Conservative Citizens. I've never heard that in the League of the South, even, and much less in a group that has become very soft, the Sons of Confederate Veterans. A new group needs to evolve, I think, or come out to represent the true sons of Confederate veterans.
Hey, Rowan, I couldn't agree with you more. Let me ask you this as the final question. We only have about a minute left, and I tell you, you've been a great guest. We've got a real celebrity on the line right now, folks. So this was an absolute epic report. I mean, it was a book, and only a few individuals were singled out individually, I guess, to repeat myself. Rowan was one of them. Last question. You can read more about this, by the way, at cfcc.org. Council of Conservative Citizens has extensive coverage on this topic, cfcc.org. You know, this was a report that came out by the NAACP, Rowan, but it wasn't written by a black person at all, or a colored person, as they call themselves in their organizational name. It was written by Leonard Zeskin, a hardcore leftist. I guess you could call him a Semite, if you will. Mm-hmm. Why was he chosen to pick the report? Or to write the report. 30 seconds.
Why was he? Money. Money and to preserve the 2010 elections. What a time, you know, don't you think, did you see the timing? The timing is to scare those, to get the black people to make look like the Tea Party is going to bring back all kind of things. I've been accused of, you know, supporting bringing back Jim Crow laws and all this. And like you said, people need to read the report for themselves. But this is all about the elections. They know the left, the hard left, the progressives, they're going to get their butt kicked. Hopefully the Republicans this time will learn their lesson and not sell us out like they did in the 2000s.
We're out of time, my friend. Thank you so much for your courage. You're a hero. Folks, read more at cfc.org. Rowan Garcia Quintana.
All right. See you at the meeting in Nashville.
You got it. We'll be right back, everybody.
Take care. Bye.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
James Edwards here with you. Welcome back to the show, Political Cesspool. Coming up in the third hour, I want to remind you one more time, we're going to be replaying in its entirety my recent interview as a guest on the Jeff Rentz radio program. He treated me like a prince. Literally. Well, I guess I'd be a king since I'm married, but treated me like royalty. Let's put it that way. That's coming up in the third hour. We think it's going to be a nice treat, something a little bit different to bring to you tonight during the third hour. So stay tuned for that. Next week, the Political Cesspool will be having an on-air birthday celebration, a full 6 years in this business. My goodness. That's an awful lot of hanging on, in my opinion, especially when you can consider the opposition we've had to our truthful message. You know, those who best understand the strength of a tide are those with the courage to swim against it. We've been swimming against the tide for 6 years come October 26th. And next Saturday night we'll be reflecting upon that which has been accomplished during that time and where we go from here. So something to look forward to as we head into next week's show. You just heard from Rowan Garcia Quintana, one of the individuals singled out in this ridiculous NAACP report on troubling Tea Partiers. Now another man of equally high standing in my book, Don Wassel, editor of the Nationalist Times, proprietor of Cast Football. Football season now in full swing. He's rejoining us tonight to discuss anti-white discrimination policies in professional sports. We'd like to have Don on quarterly to do that because sports plays such a significant role, whether you like it or not, in the shaping of our culture. Don, welcome back.
Hello, James, or should I say King James?
You can call me anything you want. I've been called much worse, I can promise you. But
yeah, I thought there was only one King James. That was LeBron James, but now we have a white one. So
That's right. I could be maybe I'll be his heir apparent. Who knows? Maybe I'm worth it. We can get on LeBron in a second. Listen, football season. We're in, what, week five, week six now? So it's certainly moving forward. How do we stand this year, Don, with regard to anti-white discrimination policies? Are white football players doing better or worse than the NFL this year?
I think they're doing a little better, and it's not because the NFL is consciously trying to help them along. It's really because the caste system is continues to have weaknesses. Really, there's a lot of encouraging things going on. For one thing, there's actually three white men carrying the football, being used as running backs this year. I mean, we went a long time, really a quarter of a century, without a featured white running back, and right now we have one in Peyton Hillis of the Cleveland Browns, and Danny Woodhead, who's a scat back. He's only about 5'8", 190 pounds. He's on the New England Patriots, and he's coming close to being the featured back on the New England Patriots. And there's also John Kuhn on the Green Bay Packers, who is getting a fair amount of carries. So it's a pretty wonderful thing. Now, these guys, of course, had to go through all kinds of obstacles to get to that point. They had basically a bunch of black running backs getting injured in front of them or getting arrested, the whole typical thing that goes on. But the fact is these guys are busting down barriers and they're getting an opportunity. We're seeing some teams like the Indianapolis Colts a few weeks ago. They were playing 9 and 10 white men on offense at the same time.
Isn't that a hate crime?
Well, Jason Whitlock, the black sports writer, he noticed it, and he tweeted about it, or whatever the word is, and wrote about it a little bit, and some other people noticed it. And that was mostly because of a couple injuries to black players. But the fact is, the Indianapolis Colts are smart because they have the greatest quarterback of all time in Peyton Manning. And so they're intelligent enough to surround him with the kind of component parts he needs to succeed.
They're kind of, Don, I equate them to the football equivalent of the Utah Jazz. Now, Utah has probably about 5 or 6 white players on any given season, which is an incredible number for the NBA, which is, what, like 90% black. And so, you know, there's a couple of teams that do it. I think there are several teams in the NBA that have, from the head coach, players 1 through 12, all black. You know, where's the diversity there? That's, of course, not going to, you know, raise an eyebrow with the media, but Indianapolis puts a half dozen, you know, fills a half dozen players on the football team, and, you know, they catch hell for it.
Well, that's right. I mean, we saw that in baseball with the Houston Astros and the Indiana Pacers of the NBA. They've had a fair amount of white players the last couple of years, and Larry Bird, who's the general manager, he's caught a lot of flack for that. So yeah, you can have an all-black team and it's horrible and nobody says anything, but if you have a successful team that has a fair amount of whites or more whites than they should, quote unquote, then they'll catch flack for it. But the thing is, James, the pool of black athletes is shrinking in this country, and there's several reasons for it, and it really goes back to the caste system itself. I mean, blacks have been pandered and held to a different standard than whites in athletics and in every aspect of behavior in this country. And it's sort of, I equate it to the Great Society, which was supposedly had good intentions, but had the most prominent characteristic of destroying what was left of the black family unit. Of course, we've had 45 years of the Great Society. We've had 40 years of the caste system, where blacks are given all kinds of affirmative action and given opportunities and that they don't deserve. And what we're seeing is there's more obviously unqualified black players in the NFL this year. I mean, there's so many defensive backs that can't cover. They're slow. You look on the defensive line, 13 defensive tackles were drafted in the first two or three rounds of the 2010 NFL draft this year. Every single one of them was black. And it's been like that the last few years. And almost all these guys are horrible, literally just colossal bust. Every now and then one's decent or maybe a little better, but year after year you see this kind of thing going on. And yet I'll look at the defensive lines around the league, and anytime a white's allowed, and we always say that in quotes, allowed to play, he's productive. He's usually, if he's not a star, he's close to it. And then the other guys that are not white, they're productive, are predominantly Samoan, or they're actually African-born, or from the West Indies, that kind of thing, where they still have a pretty good work ethic. So many blacks, even though they're paid millions of dollars and idolized, et cetera, they're unmotivated, they're lazy, they're fat. There's all kinds of fat black players in the NFL. So what we're seeing is, in spite of all this affirmative action and the hype that black players get in football, it's becoming more and more obvious that a lot of them should not be there. And so in spite of the best efforts or the worst efforts of the caste system, we're seeing breakthroughs. We're seeing it running back. We're seeing more white receivers. Not a lot, but more. We're seeing a lot of the best tight ends are white now. And just about any time a white player is allowed to play defense, he's doing well. And then there's all these black guys that are just, making mistake after mistake, or they just have no idea what they're doing, or they're not interested in tackling.
So well, Don, let me ask you this. I think this is the obligatory question that must be asked anytime you appear on this show. And like I said, you've been appearing on this show for years now, probably about three or four times a year, to address this particular topic. But if you went on any other show other than mine, they would come at you with, well, the reason why there's such a disparity among professional athletes is because blacks are vastly superior at that craft. Is that the truth?
No, it's not even close to the truth. I mean, the truth is that we have affirmative action in favor of blacks and against whites in every sphere of life in this country. I mean, most white people are aware of that, except when it comes to sports. And I guess the reason it's kind of tricky, it's pretty obvious once you see it, but it's kind of tricky because blacks are pretty good athletes. I mean, there's no denying that. But what's happened is the fact that they're pretty good athletes, the system has taken that and run with it and also has affirmative action in sports. It's just that if there was no affirmative action, if there was a colorblind or a completely level playing field to the extent you can truly come up with one, you would have a lot more whites in football and basketball and even in sprinting and things like that. So that's where I guess some people get confused because they see all these blacks and then they're getting all the hype from the media. And they think, well, it's because blacks are so good and whites aren't. But the fact is that is not the case. The blacks can compete a certain amount of them at certain levels. But then we have affirmative action and the media takes over and overblows it by a factor of two or three or four, whatever you want to call it.
And your website, Don, is the definitive source for information on this topic. And it's an important topic. That's why I like to have you on so much. Listen, I'm a man. I like sports. Now, I hate to see some of the things that are happening in sports, some of the same politically correct practices that we find in every other facet of our lives, but I played basketball. I was on a championship high school basketball team. I like sports, like most people do. Now, I don't support it with my money, but I'll catch a free game on TV and get into it to an extent. And I think it's important that we provide some honest commentary when it comes to sports and political correctness, and that's what you do better than anyone else in the world, and I mean in the world. You know, if the political cesspool is the radio show for paleo conservatives, Don Wassel's Cast Football website is the website for people who are interested in anti-white discrimination policies in professional sports. So I want to quickly get a plug in for that, castfootball.us, and that is spelt CASTEFOOTBALL, castfootball.us. You got to check it out. And it doesn't just cover football. It covers boxing, basketball, everything, baseball, any sport. You know, boxing.
We get into a lot of politics and stuff that's not directly related.
Don, hang on, buddy. Hang on. We got to take a break. Going to pick it up. We're going to have some fun in the next segment. Stay tuned. You're going to like it.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. We are on the line right now. Our guest, Don Wassel of castfootball.us. That's the website. And now we're going to field a very quick phone call. We have a listener calling in from Los Angeles tonight with a question for Don. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Mishko from Los Angeles. How you guys doing?
Hey, great to have you tonight. Yes, doing well.
And it's very funny, Don, that you mentioned some of the stuff that you're mentioning is, and I'll take a quick example out here currently, and I'm not a big football fan, but people that I work with are, in the high school league, there's a school which is Westlake High School out here. It's pretty much all white. They're ranked fourth in the nation, and they really just stomp on people. But you'll never see those kids go pro, and I don't know if it's because they're higher. Their parents tend to be well-to-do, and it's more of a liability to go into sports rather than actually go to college, get an education, and actually work for a living. So what's your take on that?
Well, we see this all the time, and thanks for the question.
Thanks for the call, Mishko.
First of all, high school football, the predominantly white teams, it's not 100%, but for the most part, predominantly white teams will thrash predominantly black teams. And if you look at the best receivers, running backs, every position, there's certainly no shortage of. And yet, after high school, I mean, whites get discriminated against and stereotyped even in high school football, but it's after high school football where there's drop off in the number of whites, and that the main reason is because the major college programs literally will not recruit them, will not give them scholarships to play at the positions they excelled at in high school, and yet will lavish blacks who don't have the same measurables. They do, and sometimes they have the same kind of output, but sometimes they're not even as close to being as good as their white counterparts, and yet they'll go on and play in the major college programs, and the major college football programs are the ones then that the NFL looks to draft their players from. So it's, you look at the NFL and you see how artificially black it is because of extreme affirmative action, but the real problem is at the college football level, and that's where the whites are weeded out, deliberately weeded out big time, and prevented from developing and getting the same opportunities the black players get. So our mission is to raise consciousness of the white athletes, their families and friends, and as many fans as we can. And they have to understand what's going on here and demand a change to it. It's not going to happen from the top down. It has to be a grassroots, bottom-up thing, just like in politics and everything else. So
thanks again for that call, Mishko. And Don, I wanted to ask you, you're talking about raising awareness for this topic at hand. You were assisted in that endeavor by a very strange bedfellow. In fact, I got the call from you to find out that I had also been targeted in this particular television commentary. What am I talking about?
A friend of mine called me, I think it was September 28th, and he said, hey, I just found out that Rachel Maddow is going to be attacking or talking about Cass football on her show tonight. So I tuned in, and she led off by talking about something called, she was all giddy and sneering and said, we're going to talk about white supremacist football. And that was the lead-in and the teaser to her show, which she repeated through the whole show, but she didn't actually do the smear until the last segment. So I had to sit there and actually listen to this bizarre white liberal for 60 minutes till she got to it. But she kept really hyping it. She was going to talk about white supremacist football. And so she got to the last segment. She had a picture of our Cass football homepage, which, by the way, is getting over 2 million page views per month now. It's getting pretty popular, and that's probably one reason that Maddow went after it. But anyway, she had the site on there, and it was reading snippets from some of the articles that we wrote about the demographics of various NFL teams. We look at them every year, just like the liberals do. The liberals do to see and make sure there's enough minorities in sports and every other institution in their mind, and we look at sports and see how many whites there are and point out the discrimination where we can. But she thought that was hilarious that we did that. And, of course, we do it sarcastically and humorously. And she pointed out some things and just giggled and laughed and thought it was hysterical and was calling us crazy, racist, et cetera, et cetera. And then she went over to James' website and mentioned James' show and then took on some other people, American Third Position, the pro-white political party and some other Occidental Quarterly, et cetera, et cetera. But it was all just a bizarre muddled smear, but it got us some attention. It got you some too, James. I guess that's the way to.
That's work. Right. You know, it's all. She kept it in the family at least. She gave us some fine company to share. And you know, Don, we're always excited about that. It happens pretty frequently now that we're attacked in such a high profile manner. But you know, I asked her about that. I don't know. Have you seen my interview with her?
No, I didn't know you interviewed her.
Well, yeah, you know, it's on the website now. She agreed.
Oh, okay.
You gotta check
I know
it
what you're
out.
Talking about. Ha ha. Yeah, nod, nod, wink, wink. Okay.
Right. Well, yeah, so, you know, and I asked her about that. I said, you know, why is it fair that you're entitled to support the cause of other fellow lesbians and Don isn't allowed to cheer for white football players? Well, she didn't, you know, appreciate that question at all. And like I said, folks, you're going to have to visit my website to.
I hope
to
she didn't pummel you, James, because she's about 6 feet tall.
That's right. Yeah, she was tough, you know. And like I said, you got to watch the video at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Looked like she just came from the steel mill. And so I didn't know how that was going to turn out. Meeting in a rural cornfield, I don't know, you know, like somebody wrote on my blog, reminding them of the scene with Joe Pesci in Casino. I don't know how that was going to work out, but I survived. Well,
just hope you end up better than Joe, that's all.
That's right. Yeah, it didn't end well for Joe in Casino, but that's a pretty good movie. But anyway, Don, I know we were coming to the end of this show.
Yeah, we just started.
Yeah, it goes by so quickly when I have great guests on, and so with you it just goes by in the blink of an eye. But we have a couple of minutes left. Would like to give that time to you to tie up any loose ends, any ground we didn't cover that you'd like to cover, and of course give you the opportunity to plug your website one more time.
Okay, well, it's Caste Football, CASTE Football. Yes. Boy, there's just so much going on in the world, and I mention on your show every time, but it's true. You know, when you follow politics and plight of white Americans in general is just so negative at times and so overwhelmingly easy to get demoralized. But in sports, it's a different thing because there's negative things and there's institutionalized racism against whites and affirmative action. But there's so many white athletes that are thriving and doing well, and there's so many to root for. And you know, we've got boxing where whites are just dominating, not American whites, but European and Russian whites. We've got just so many. In fact, there's a thread on Caste Football right now about how the year 2010 has been the best year for white athletes that many of us can remember. So, I mean, there's so much going on that's positive, and it's a fascinating subject. It's related to everything else. A lot of people poo-poo, well, that's sports, who cares? But, you know, it's in the realm of the physical, and the realm of the physical and how people are viewed physically and how physically fit they are. I mean, that's tied in with the spiritual and the mental and everything else. So, I mean, it's all tied together. If we want to redeem our people and our country, we've got to have a healthy view and attitude towards all things, and we also have to get the truth out there that whites, in particular white men, don't take a backseat to anyone when it comes to sports and strength and toughness. In fact, we are the best. We always have been, and we still are. And a lot of whites are persevering in spite of the negative attitudes and jokes that the media loves to make. And so I would encourage anyone out there who is interested at all in sports, who would like to know more about this, and you know, we get into politics and the bigger picture, to check out the site. It's very active.
I encourage you to check it out as well, castfootball.us. Don Wassel has been at this far longer than I have, and it's had an impact probably far greater than mine, too. And I salute Don Wassel for his service to his family and to our cause. And Don, appreciate you, brother, and we will talk to you again soon. And in the interim, folks, make his website a daily read, castfootball.us.
Hey, thanks, James. Congratulations on your 6-year anniversary.
Thank you, my friend. Absolutely. Looking forward to 6 more with many more interviews with you. Don Wassel, everyone. Check him out. And with that being said, I want to remind you one more time that coming up, still 1 hour to go tonight here in the Political Cesspool, October 23rd, Saturday night, and we've got a treat for you, something a little bit different, a little surprise. Well, I don't get this as a surprise because I've already told you what it is, but it is going to be a treat nevertheless. An interview with Jeff Rent, the guest on his program, a featured guest, for an hour, and we're going to be playing that show in its entirety coming up right after this. We talked about a lot of issues when I was on his program, and he gave my book, Racism Schmacism, a glowing endorsement. We talk about that. So I think it's something you're going to enjoy. The microphones have been turned, so now you'll be able to hear what it's like when I'm answering the questions as a guest rather than asking them as a host, and that's coming up right around the corner as we head into the third hour tonight on the Political Cesspool radio program brought to you by the Liberty News Radio Network. So check it out. And by the way, if you haven't gotten a copy of my book yet, Winston Smith isn't on tonight to promote it, so I guess I'll have to take his job. RacismBook.com, Racism Schmacism, how, I don't even know the title of my own book. Racism Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R-Word to Push the Obama Agenda, that's it. Check it out, it's the definitive source, in all seriousness, on how this game is played. Once you read it, you will never be a sucker for underhanded liberal smear tactics ever again. And that's something that we've been talking about a lot here on the show tonight. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for my interview with Jeff Ritz coming up during the third hour of the Political Cesspool tonight, right after these words from our sponsors.
There's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.